The lecture you are about to hear concerned with the foundations and principles of master salesmanship was one of a series given by Dr. Walter Russell to IBM during the vital formative years of IBM's growth from 1927 to 1939. Dr. Walter Russell perhaps needs no introduction to many of you now present, for he has been internationally known for more than 60 years as the most versatile man in America and the modern Leonardo da Vinci. He is a painter, sculptor, architect, musician, author, philosopher, and scientist, and master in all these fields. From 1927 to 1939, when this and other lectures were delivered to IBM executives and salesmen, the late Mr. Thomas J. Watson was Vice President of the Society of Arts and Sciences, and Dr. Walter Russell was President. Mr. Watson so admired the sales principles practiced by Dr. Russell in personally selling $30 million worth of stock for his cooperative building enterprises that he invited him to teach those principles to IBM executives and sales personnel. In the light of such manifold activities and achievements Dr. Russell has demonstrated, he must be surely hailed as the man of the century. I now present his lecture to you all on the topic resources versus resourcefulness. This is one of a series of short talks on master salesmanship. The reason for this series is that IBM wants masters in every department and mediocrity in none. In your department rests the responsibility of keeping the life's blood of the IBM body in vital circulation. And it is certain that IBM wants as many such masters as Buchus, Röpke, Lamb, Maxwell, Kenny, Clark, Quarren, Corey, Flaws, Hickey, Coleman, and others like them as possible in order to raise the IBM standard. And for the same reason, IBM wants to eliminate mediocrity. Masters in your line demand masters in every department to keep pace with you. There is too much mediocrity in the world, and in mediocrity there is too much waste. You can increase the percentage of masterliness in IBM by a greater understanding of how to seek masterliness and how to steer your ship away from mediocrity. That is the job that must be done, because IBM has great plans for the immediate future which needs master thinkers. Mr. Watson has given to you the whole world full of complete directions as to how you may find that road to mastership in his one-word sermon on the mount of our rising civilization, Think. All I intend doing is to expand that one word by throwing more light upon its road. If in thinking there is power, let us understand more about what thinking is. Let us begin by taking up a new idea in thinking, which we will term two-directional thinking. And for a subtitle, let us add the term balanced thinking. The two directions of thinking are the outward direction toward your material equipment and the inward toward your mental equipment, which gives you your resourcefulness. I have observed that mediocrity is due in thinking in only one direction, the outward direction toward material, and that impractical dreamers and wild visionaries think only in the inward direction toward the seat of imagination, while the creative genius thinks in both directions and balances his thought with the wisdom obtained from his two-directional thinking before making the decision upon which he acts. I have observed that whenever my work is not balanced by inspirational thinking, but is dominated by thinking toward material, there is no masterliness in it whatever. It is nothing but an empty shell, a mere lifeless form. Not until I look within myself, into the very soul of me, to find inspiration, is my material form imbued with life of masterliness. Mr. Watson is one of the most outstanding examples of two-directional thinkers I have ever known, and the contagion of his genius in thinking toward mind power has inspired the latent genius in all who have come in close contact with him. You are fortunate indeed in coming under the influence of such mentalities as you find in the high officials of IBM. They began as you have begun. They grew to their heights through the fertility of IBM thinking. They were not masters when they first came. They made themselves masters by learning to think two-directionally toward their jobs and toward themselves. IBM grows masterful men from the very seed to the full ear. If you will but emulate their example in sufficient mass, you will see the standard of IBM rise like a thermometer in July. You have the same opportunity. You have the same resources in material equipment. Mr. Armstrong is giving you that material equipment. He is giving it to you in the shape of valuable information and technical training in a highly specialized business. IBM is manufacturing a pioneer product which needs to be interpreted to the minds of men who resist change and who do not understand the principle of obsolescence. You must be the interpreters of IBM idea. It is absolutely necessary that you have that information. You could not properly interpret IBM idea without it. It is part of your resources. It is that part of your equipment which you obtain from the outside of yourself. But what about the other part which balances it, your resourcefulness? What about that side of your equipment which comes from the inside? That is what I am concerned about, and I am vitally concerned about it. No one can give you that. That is a quality which every man has, but is more or less sound asleep in every man. All that any of us can do is to try to awaken it as much as we can into a little ripple of desire or into a great tornado of ambition for achievement. The only way we can help to awaken your own sleeping genius is to increase your understanding. That is what I am trying to do, just trying to make you aware of it by lighting the fires of your own ambition. Those of us who have achieved anything extraordinary have learned the relative value which lies between our material resources and our inspirational resourcefulness. The trouble with life's failures is that people have not learned how to assess the relative values of their resources and their resourcefulness. Let us consider this. Here is a bank statement of its resources listed in bonds, cash on hand, etc., amounting to nearly